Welcome to Limitless Church on Easter. Man, thank you to our worship team and our dream team. Yesterday we had an incredible day. We had the Eggstastical. What's it called? It was Eggtastical. So there was 1,000 people that came through here, and we did trunks and we filled candy up for your kids. And man, didn't this feel good after the last 2 years that we've walked through? Are y'all glad to be here this morning? Like, there's some people that didn't make it. Some of y'all almost didn't make it. You better give God a shout that he let you wake up this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I'm above ground. I'm thankful. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, welcome to our church, where nobody is perfect. Look at your other neighbor and say, welcome to our church, where nobody is perfect, but your heart is safe here. Your heart is safe here. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. I am so honored. I'm Pastor Kim, and I get to pastor the greatest church in the world. All of you online, we love you so much. We thank you all for, I mean, we got people that serve online. I mean, just thank you so much for helping us win the world. That's what we are all put here to do, is win somebody. Be the change we want to see, right? So I want to start today. How many visitors do we have in here? Yes! Some of y'all like, girl, I ain't raising my hand. You know you ain't never seen me here before. I am so glad that you came today, and you are welcome in this place anytime. We love you no matter what, and this is going to be the best day of the rest of your life, I promise you. So I'm titling my sermon today, It All Comes Down to This. Say, it all comes down to this. Have any of you went through a season in your life where you lost you? Anybody? Went through a season, anybody, where you lost you, like you got off track? Anybody, like, walked through a divorce, and now you're trying to find yourself. 38 years, you thought you'd be with this person forever, and then all of a sudden you find yourself having to start. Anybody walked through the last 2 years, and you went through all of your 401k that you were about to retire and move to Dominican Republic, and then all of a sudden... Right? And all of a sudden, this thing came out of nowhere, and we're all under mask. I want y'all to think about this. Like, did anybody else ever lay in your bed in the last 2.5 years and think, what in the world has happened? Walking through the airports, and we look like a bunch of bank robbers. Like, all of us, like they're taking your order under a mask. At Chick-fil-A, they're outside taking orders with the mask on. Now it says, my pleasure. And so for the last 2 years, we have seen an example of just how quickly life can shift. Just how quickly that thing that you had on your dream board can go up into smoke. Just how quickly that the plans that you had for your life went up in smoke. Maybe your mama, all of a sudden, she was a great mama, and then she hit a rough patch. And all of a sudden, she's not the greatest mom. Well, what about your dad that all of a sudden said, I can't be here for you because my dad wasn't there for me, and I don't know how to be a father, and so I'm leaving your life. Or maybe it was literally being in a place. We got so many people coming in. Y'all, just bring them on in. Y'all, I'm so excited. Look at that, look. Y'all make them feel welcome. Squeeze closer. Y'all like, I am not getting nobody's juices on me. Just squeeze closer. You know what I'm saying? We only got 30 minutes of it here. And tell them you can sit by me. Yeah, y'all come on. Y'all thank y'all. Y'all like, girl, stop bringing attention to me. We're just breaking you in for what's about to happen in your life. The light is about to be on you. Favor is following you. You're about to experience glory after glory after glory. You ain't going to be in the back of the line no more. God's moving you to the front of the line. Listen, we're in a season of brag on God, and we're bragging on God. We're seeing miracles, signs, and wonders take place in our lives. Things we thought wasn't going to happen, we're seeing it happen. Can I get an amen? 3 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and the home team is down by 2. The coach calls a timeout and sends his star field goal kicker into the field. The team takes their positions. The referee blows the whistle. The ball is snapped. The kick is up, and it's all good. And the crowd goes wild, at least half the crowd. The other crowd leaves in dismay because they were defeated. It all comes down to this. You've been carrying around that engagement ring for the last month. You know she's the one. You've got that time. You got your little notes in your hand of what you're going to say when you get on that one knee. And you're thinking about the moment, the time. The sun has to go down just enough so that every single moment is spotless and perfect. And you get down on your knee and you ask her to be your wife for the rest of your life. And now the answer is up to her. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. You haven't been feeling well for a while. You've gone to the doctor, and the doctors are like, I don't know what's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. All the tests are fine, but something's wrong with me. I feel like something's wrong with me, and nobody can ever find anything wrong with you. But all of a sudden, you find a doctor that took the right test, and they're saying, come in. We've got some answers for you. Your life is in limbo, not knowing what's about to happen. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. You've waited for the last 20-week ultrasound, or like us, for an entire pregnancy to find out. It seems like forever, right? When you're trying to find out what sex you're having as a child. Is it a boy or is it a girl? Some of y'all got five boys trying to have a girl. You're like holding your breath. You know your life is about to change dramatically. You just want to know if it's pink or blue, or maybe it's two. The ultrasound technician does her magic wand. What a great day for a mom and a dad. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. That phrase points to a defining moment. It calls to mind a critical stage in your life, a monumental moment of an important occasion. In other words, this is what you've been waiting on. This morning, as we celebrate Easter, I want you to know that this is one of those times. This is a defining moment. When you walked into this place, an important moment that is going to be that's going to mark your history. This is what we've all been waiting for. It comes down to this, not waiting until we get everything right. We walk up into this place and you're rolling your eyes thinking, oh God, here we go again. Repent, turn or burn. It all comes down to this. Let's read Luke 24, 1 through 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Now, let me set this up. It happened so quickly, like some of your lives. You had planned it and never saw it coming. You never saw him walking in and serving you divorce papers. You never saw your kid coming in at 16 years old and saying, I'm pregnant. You never saw that addiction. You just were having one glass of wine a night, and all of a sudden now you have to drink two bottles to go to sleep. This is exactly what happened to Jesus. He is living his best life. And then all of a sudden, they come in and they get him. And before they know it, they have beaten him with 39 stripes. 39 stripes, because there's 39 major sicknesses in this world. 39 stripes in front of all of these people. Y'all can't even handle when somebody claps back at you on social media. Can you imagine having to walk with a cross on your back and you're sitting there being lashed with these glass pieces, and it's hitting your body and you're carrying your own cross and people are watching, and all of a sudden within 24 hours they throw you up on this cross and nobody had time to prepare. And he's up on this cross, and it's saying right here that after they took him down, nobody could even get his body ready. It's kind of like the last 2 years. We didn't have time to prepare. And we're seeing right here that early on that Sunday morning, after he had been put in that tomb and the stone was put up, the spices were prepared, they found the stone had been rolled away. He went in, he took all of those stripes for every ounce of depression, every ounce of addiction, every ounce of shame, every ounce of fear, every ounce of laying awake at night, wishing to God you wouldn't have done it. What? He went to that cross. They throw him in this tomb. They don't probably throw him, but you know, you get my point. And they put the stone there. And as they stood there puzzled, seeing that the stone had been rolled away, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" How many of us have been waiting until all the things get into order? And God is saying, "No, man, what you waiting on? Today is the day that you finally lay it down and you quit trying to fix the broken pieces and you let me use you for my glory. Today, it all comes down to this. Why are you looking for someone dead when he's alive? He isn't even here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified? And that he would rise again on the third day? Did you forget? Did you let all the hell that you walked through make you forget just how awesome you are? That now you believe in stuff everybody else says about you instead of what he knows about you? You're letting the last 18 years of you believing somebody was gonna change and they never changed, and now you're beating yourself up and you're living here. God is saying, "No, no, 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 no. I can take what took the last 18 years and I can shift it in 24 hours. What are you waiting for?" He was standing there and he said he was going to do this. Why are you still here? Then they remembered that he said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples that were hiding. Y'all know them friends. They ride with you as long as there's gas in the car. But where they at? Even the disciples were like, "Man, we next. We next." So they go hide. This is why I love these stories. Because if you just open your Bible, you won't feel so bad about yourself. You got stories in this Bible that will let you know that God used people with the worst past to create the best futures. Yo, Jonah, hello. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He's like, "No, I'll kill him. Kill him, I ain't going to Nineveh." God's telling him, "Go to Nineveh." He like, "No, bye." Kill him. That's how some of y'all with your exes. He like, "Pray for him." You like, "Kill him, I'm praying." He said, "Go to Nineveh." He's like, "I ain't going to Nineveh." He's like, "Kill them all." You know how good God is? He said, "Fish, go follow Jonah. He's going to need transportation back to where I told him to be in the first place." That's how good God is. He don't take his hand off you. And listen, then they remembered that he said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense. That's why I love these stories. They like Jerry Springer, you know what I'm saying? He's like the worst case scenarios, because the worst case scenarios, he can show out more. He don't get glory for your story when you act like everything's right. You know what I'm saying? He like, "Tell it all, tell it all." So, however, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. He didn't believe it. That's on some of y'all's social media pages. Y'all were nay-naying 2 weeks ago. Now you praying. Everybody's like, "What is she doing? Wasn't she ratchet? And now she's righteous?" You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how God is. He's like, "We know. Now I just need you to get it right." Peter didn't believe it either. Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. And stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. That's your next season of bragging on God. It is going to be one of these miraculous stories. And the very thing that you dream of and the thing that you want to happen, God is saying, I'm about to make it so much better. I'm about to give you some Grammy award-winning miracles in your life. If you will just get unstuck from your minimal thinking, you thought it was going to happen one way. But when you came out of your mama on August the 29th, 1972, the doctors heard why, but hell, her purpose, destiny, a game changer, a nation shifter. You might be a late bloomer, but you're still blooming. You might be a late bloomer, baby, but as late bloomers, what? I want you to see two important realities about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, it's the most important event that ever occurred. The story of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story that changed the world. It is the most important event that has ever occurred and the most important story ever told. And his birth was normal, but it was unique. He was born just like us. He was born of a woman. His mother went through the natural pregnancy delivery process. She craved pickles. She probably went to Heavenly grocery store to get pickles at 2 o'clock in the morning. She walked through the same things we did, but his birth was totally unique. He wasn't just born of a woman. He was born of a virgin. Now you go tell Jerry that. I'm not the daddy. I'm not the daddy. I'm not the daddy. Thank God we didn't have Jerry back then. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't just born of a woman. He was born of a virgin. He was totally untainted by the sin nature that each of us inherit at birth. His death was not typical of Roman executions. Jesus wasn't the first person to be crucified by Rome, and he wasn't the last. In fact, he was crucified between two criminals that day. But his death was totally unique. For in his death, he paid the price for your sin, my sin, to satisfy the judgment of God against sin and purchase salvation for all of us who will turn to him in faith. His resurrection now is completely unique. Even the thought of him standing up on that cross, he had ratchet, and righteous. He had a thief, Jesus, and a thief. And he could have got down off of that cross. Because he's the goat. You hear me? He could have got down off of that cross. And every time we start feeling that feeling of, I don't really know if there's, y'all ever felt that? Like, really, is our God, like, where's he at? Where's he at in this process? Or maybe when we start going after God, things in our life get worse. And we're like, man, I didn't even have this problem until I started serving Jesus. Did you know you would still have the problem? You just wouldn't think it's a problem? Because every day you're having problems? But because you now have Jesus in your heart, you do understand the fact that PK said there's something about this power that I possess now. I mean, I go every Sunday, and I mean, I was a preacher's kid, and when I finally started realizing the power that I possessed and realized that I had to let go of some things that I was carrying in order to walk in that power, preacher's kid, I would lay in my bed after my divorce in 2006. I would lay in my bed every day and pray for God to kill my ex, kill him with a train. And God was like, girl, you want to be used to me? You got to forgive. I'm like, and you got to pray for your ex. I said, I am praying. Kill him. So we got to get ourselves right, right? And realize that we got to stop allowing the enemy to get in our minds. I started literally praying over myself. God, I want to forgive, but I don't know how. I want to forgive. I don't want to be angry at this situation. I know that rejection is God's protection. I know that you knew something I didn't know. And you had to sometimes just help me hit rock bottom to find out who the rock is at the bottom, which is you. And so God allowed me to forgive. And I did, and I started praying. I started realizing it was working. I was like, oh, my God, I'm forgiving him. I wasn't praying, kill him. I was just praying, God, don't kill him. Just hurt him. Baby steps. I was baby stepping it. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're dragging that leg, at least you're moving. Okay? I mean, he's a lamp unto my feet. I might fall tomorrow, but I'm getting back up again. I ain't staying down as long this time. Everywhere Jesus went, he seemed to interrupt a funeral. Y'all, when he came out of that grave and he came back with all authority, I mean, he said, "Nah, I did it." I bet he was thug walking out of that thing. Y'all ever read the Message version of the Bible? He was thug. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was like, "Get up, get up." That's why we're saying, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that. Get up, get up, get up. All you got to do is believe it and see it. Well, that's not true, Kim. Well, if you would stop saying that ain't true and just brag on God and believe it. I bet he was walking out. I bet he had like one of those like, what? Well, I bet he had like one of those dips, you know, when you do something really great and you got that extra like, you know, your shoulders back. Everywhere Jesus went, he seemed to interrupt a funeral. He turned so many funerals into festivals because he raised so many people back to life. Y'all listen to this. He even empowered his disciples to raise the dead. Y'all, I've been praying for this. Y'all gonna be so scared. Y'all, oh yeah, I believe that God can do anything. He is just gonna do anything until they walk up into Limitless and they're dead. And I'm like, get up. And they're like, wah! Y'all be running out. We be on the Shade Room. Something's hokey pokey. Hokey pokey's happening down at Limitless. There's some dead people that stinketh. They were dead in like 4 days, and then all of a sudden they went into Limitless and they back, and they don't stink it no more. That's how he is. He's given us all the power, but because of what we've gone through, we doubt it. We doubt our worth. And if the enemy can't take you out, he wears you out through yourself. I talk about this all the time, and I'm glad you're tired of it. If he can't take you out, he will wear you out. And he will do it in your own mind. He will do it in listening to the voices that the enemy has sent, them employees that work for him, called haters. You gotta have haters. Y'all like, I don't want no haters. I don't have no haters. Yes, you do. Probably right next door to you. You probably just had coffee with on Friday. You trying to take people to the top that don't even want you at the top. You just want everybody to love you. You over here trying to, stop trying to right the wrong, let the wrong be gone. Stop giving CPR to dead situation. You see me dropping some rhymes up in here. You got to get yourself to a place where you don't waste the oil on your life. And get yourself in a circle of people that when you're in their presence, you feel like, man, I can do anything but fail. I can write a bestseller. I can get married again and fall in love. I can be a great wife this time. I ain't gonna tell them. Oh, some of y'all been married and you're like, I don't need no man. You woke up and you ain't got one. You're like, what happened? You won't have to go through life fearing rejection or wounds. You will walk through life empowered, understanding that God raised people from the dead. The disciples raised people from the dead. And you got that same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Everyone else that was raised from the dead died again. They died again. Some of y'all seen people get cured of cancer and they get cancer again and they die. That's the one thing the Bible says. The Bible says that when you come into the earth, you need to cry. I still don't understand that. Why are we crying when a baby comes? But he said cry because this world is hard. And when they die, we got to rejoice. Why? Because they own 1674 Graceland Circle having a Holy Ghost party. You hear me? That's what he's saying. So listen, you can't get to a place where you're worried. You're worried about what's next. Today, I want to challenge you to trust that God knows the beginning from the end in your life and stop trying to fix the pieces into that place that you're not supposed to be in the first place. Don't miss it. It all comes down to this. Jesus Christ is risen. He conquered death, hell and the grave and all of his enemies. He is triumph. He is victorious. He is glorious. And the account of the life of Jesus Christ is the only biography known to man that does not end with death and burial. His biography never ends. When you walk into that nail salon and you see Buddha and all that fruit that got dust on it, I bet you when that plane's shaking all the way up in the air, 36,000 feet, and you hit that turbulence, I bet you ain't say, Buddha! No, you're like, Jesus! I'm coming home, Elizabeth! Get me right, Lord! You hear me? You got to get to that place where you realize that, God, I trust you. Even if I can't trace you, and if there's anything in my heart that is not of you, I lay it down at your feet. Here's the second most important thing that you will ever make, the most important decision that you'll ever make. Not only is this the most important event today that ever occurred, it's our Grammys. This is the Christian world's, what's it called on Sunday when they play them games? Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl. Not only is this the most important event that ever occurred, but it's also the most important decision you will ever make. And you are faced with the choice. Believe in faith and experience a complete transformation of life, or turn away in disbelief and reject Jesus. This is the most important decision you will ever make. Some of y'all put yourself off the couture rack and you put yourself on the clearance rack because things didn't work out the way you thought. Or maybe you've had somebody in your life that you thought was Jesus that really did a terrible job at representing him. They hurt you, they broke you, and now you're looking at Jesus the same way as you look at them. That is all a plot from the enemy to keep you from walking in your purpose. Here are some tragic words. They did not believe them. They did not believe the words of Christ. They did not believe that anything was true of this story. And some of you are going to hear these words today. And you're going to hear about Jesus Christ. You're going to hear about his birth. You're going to hear about his life. You're going to hear about his death. You're going to hear about his resurrection. And you're going to do the same thing. You will walk out of these doors after hearing this amazing story. And you're still not going to believe. I want to challenge you today to consider the claims of Jesus Christ. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a myth. This is not a legend. This is reality. And the same Jesus that rose again from the dead lives today. He lives today. Some of y'all thought because the curtain had closed in your life after that tragedy that hit your life that the production is over. But the production is not over. The curtain just had to close in order to set up for the next scene. He's saying today is the day that you go, ta-da. There's nothing like a comeback story. Others of you will come to see yourself. You will say, yeah, I believe some of this. What do I got to lose? It's the most important decision you will ever make. And it all comes down to this. I'm not going to wait until everything is right to come to say, God, live in my heart. I'm going to ask you, God, to live in my heart so that you can help me get things right. That's the coolest thing about God, is that when you serve him, y'all, I remember coming to an Easter Sunday here. My daddy was the pastor of this church, and I was living one foot in and one foot out. And I remember I was sitting right back there in that back road, and I was already plotting my run. And I couldn't wait to get out of this building. And I did. I left this building, and that night, I remember all week long, I partied. I went to bars. I was nay-naying, thinking I was straight up coyote ugly. They were like, can you get this girl off the bar? I mean, I was just as crazy for Jesus as I was for the world. And I remember that next Saturday night, I come in my mom and daddy's house. And I'm drunk and I knock all the pictures off. I'm 36, 37 years old and living in so much shame, feeling like I can't live right. You know, I've just done too much. Who's gonna listen? All the church people were talking about me and everything they said was true. I did it. And I'm sitting here in my bed and I hear my dad, because I'm living with my mom and dad because I lost everything, because sin will literally make you lose everything. And I remember hearing him get up out of that room, and I'm knocking all my graduation pictures off the wall. And I hear him coming upstairs, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm a whole grown woman. And I'm scared of this man that's coming in my room. And you know, when you're drunk, you don't really think you're drunk. I'm not drunk. I can walk a fine line. And I feel my dad coming upstairs. And so I proceed to lay in the bed like I'm dead, thinking that as long as he doesn't see me awake, he's gonna think he heard something. and it was not me coming upstairs. And before I know it, he's breathing on me. And I open my eye like this. All the blood had left my body. And he said, baby, I hope you ain't drunk for church tomorrow, because you're gonna get up and lead praise and worship. I said, no. You don't want me doing that. Everybody in your church is gonna die of a thunderbolt coming through the ceiling. Because that's how I thought. That church was a place for perfect people. Not realizing that it's a hospital. So come bring that to me, Unique. I was laying in my bed last night and I was thinking of that story. And I was thinking about how I used to envision religion, God, myself. I didn't preach my first sermon until I was 40. Working at Bloomingdale's, making $9 an hour. Living like the devil. And at 40 years old, I had an encounter with God that literally changed everything. And you know what a lot of that encounter was? Free from what y'all thought. I got free from people. I got free from their judgments. And that's what God wants to do to you today. When you were born like this. You were perfect. Man, when I was born, I was so ugly. I looked like a drowned rat. But everybody was like, you were the cutest baby ever. I'm like, you liar. We were born like this. We were born flawless. Every one of us. And the enemy knew when you came out of your mama that you were the trajectory shifter for your family. He knew that you were the generational curse breaker of your family. He knew that you were going to have a hell no moment, a Holy Ghost moment where you said, no, I'm not going to stand in my way. I'm not going to let nobody else tell me who I am. I'm going to find out who God created me to be. And I might be 36, 37, 48, 50 when I finally surrender everything over to God. But I'm about to go on a journey with him. Thieves don't rob empty vaults. The enemy hasn't been after you because you're weak. He's after you because you're strong. And as I was laying in my bed, I was thinking about this. This right here, this is how we come. Everybody see it, right? I'm obsessed. That's what influencers say on social media. This beautiful, flawless pot. And then we come into this earth. And the enemy knows if I can steal their voice, if I can put them in a family where their daddy molests them, where their mama don't fight for them, I can beat them with a hard knock is going to knock the wind out from under them. And then I'm going to hit them again with addiction. And then I'm going to hit them again with lies. And over time, I'm going to let them have kids out of wedlock. It's going to break, doggone it. You start feeling the ramifications of the pain. And nobody's there to help you. Nobody acts like anything's wrong in their lives. And the enemy is getting you, and he's getting you, and he's getting you, and he's getting you, and he's getting you. Over time. Angry. You're having to get alcohol to sleep every night. Because the pain is so real. On social media, they make sure that you see everybody in your newsfeed because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So whatever that thing is on the inside of you that you lack, whether it's insecurity, whether it's fear, whether it's fear of trusting, if you dig, you'll find it. And the enemy's got you stalking, trying to find things wrong in the relationships that you're in now because it's too perfect, because somewhere along the line, your beautiful vase broke into a million pieces, and now you're staring at yourself at 40 years old, 30 years old, 25 years old. You're thinking about suicide. You're thinking about addiction, trying to drown the pain, using filters on social media because you don't love yourself no more, because you've let yourself down. Because somewhere along the line, somebody told you that you were supposed to be like this. That you were supposed to turn out like your dad and you're nothing like him. That you lived to not be like your mom and now you're turning out just like her. living a lie and you don't even know who you are anymore. And all of a sudden, you're staring at all of these broken pieces. This was me. Pretending in church. Judging the whole church off of a few hypocrites. Never gonna love again because I was married to somebody that I couldn't trust. Now my kids live with an angry mom. I'm not even in my kids' life anymore because their mama hates me so much, she's lied to them about me. And I'm over here finally trying to put myself back together. But I can't get it to work because there's so many broken pieces. And God is saying to you today, I don't want you to put yourself back together. I don't want you to be like your dad. I don't want you to be like your mom. I don't want you to be like that old church that kicked you out. I want you to be you. I don't want you to be that single mom that's beating yourself up because you always thought you would have a dad and a mom in the house, and now here you are. He said, I knew before you were ever thought in your mother's womb that you were going to be shard and that you were going to try to put yourself back together again, because that's what we do. That's what makes us hate our lives. But like my daddy did to me when he stood over me and said, baby, I hope you're not drunk tomorrow, because even if you are, you're going to praise your way through. That's what Jesus looks like. Jesus don't look like those people that are telling you turn or burn. He said, get your heart right. When you get your heart right, you ain't angry no more. When you get your heart right, you want to live right. When you get your heart right, you're not finding offense with everything. When you get your heart right, then you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Two commandments. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Stand up on your feet. Today he's saying, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Forgive that ex. Forgive your dad. They ain't worth it. Forgive your mom. Forgive that old boss. Forgive your old coach. Forgive your preacher. Forgive your mom. Forgive your husband. Some of y'all are on the verge of divorce because pride has come in your marriage. Maybe he had an affair, but repented and really, really is sorry, but you can't let him forget. Maybe it's your kid struggling with their identity and you're mad. God is saying today, I love all of you. I love you. If my dad wouldn't have walked in that room and loved me that day the way he did, I wouldn't be standing up here pastoring a church. Is everything perfect in my life? No. But I realize the enemy ain't fighting me because I'm weak. Bring it on, you punk. I don't stay down. I get back up again because I realize God is in me. It doesn't matter what I've gone through. I'm not what happened to me. Those are events. I am not what happened to me. You are not you're not an alcoholic. It's something that you walk through. You're not a divorcee. That's something that happened to you. Today, shake the labels off. There was a crack pot and a hole pot. They were walking down the stream every day to get water for the water master. The water master's carrying the pots. The crack pot finally one day looks at the water master and says, I'm so sorry that I can't give you what you need me to give you because I'm so broken. that my other friend over here that's perfect, she brings you a whole pot every day. But when I come, I'm only half full because of the cracks in my pot. And the water bearer says, when you walk back down to the water hole today, I want you to look on your side of the road and tell me what you see. The water pot, the cracked water pot, watches as he's walking back to the water hole and sees all of these beautiful flowers, every color that you can imagine. She gets back and the water lady goes, did you see? Your side of the road had the most beautiful flowers on it, and there was none on the other side. That crack in your pot made you have the most beautiful flowers, because out of the broken places of your life, God is shining bright. It's like a disco ball, y'all. When that disco ball is put into a place like this, we can cut all the lights off and shine just a little cell phone light in it, and all these prisms will hit the wall. Why? Because it's been broken a million times. Today, won't you lay it down? Lay down the expectation you had for yourself. Lay down what you've done, never ever to pick it up again. What do? You have to confess your sins. What does that look like? You know what, God? I'm ratchet. I need to be righteous. I'm cray cray. I need to know how to pray. Forgive me for being a gossip. Forgive me for addiction. Forgive me, God. I don't want to be this way. You confess and then you repent. Lord, forgive me. And that's what we're going to do in this place today. We're going to do this. We're going to confess it. Then we're going to repent. And then guess what? Guess what? We never going to talk about it again. When somebody else brings up your past, bye. I'm putting you in my past, because that's not who I am. I'm not letting you keep me in my sin when God already got on that cross for me. We're going to confess. We're going to repent. And then we're going to start living right. Are y'all in? Yeah. Y'all in? Yeah. Y'all going to try it in with me? We're going to brag on God. Yeah. If you're in this room today and you say, Kim, I don't know who Jesus is. Maybe I did. Maybe I don't. But I don't know. I want him. Because you got the power today to walk through your houses, y'all, and lay hands on everything in your house and take your power back. You don't have to. God ain't Equifax. He ain't checking your credit. He's not going back and pulling up a whole history of what you've done. That ain't how God is. God loves to use people with the worst past to create the best futures. If that is you today and you're like, I'm ready to break this mess off of me, I want you to lift up your hands. If you say, I don't know who Jesus is, but I want him. I want him. I want you to lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand all over the building. I see you. I see you online. Just drop a one. Just drop a one. Man, this is awesome. And here's what we're going to do. We're not going to embarrass you. In fact, all of us are going to get saved again. Because, you know, some of y'all need to get saved again. Y'all just ain't, you know what I'm saying. You're like, girl, bye. We just going to all do it. Everybody lift your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender. Heal the parts of me that make me keep going back to who I used to be. God, give me spiritual amnesia from anything I've been holding on to that's made me sabotage my life. Today, help me break the cycles. Help me break the generational curses. Help me be proud of me. Break the depression off of me. Break the fear off of me. Break the insecurity off of me. Break the anger off of me. Break the memories off of me. And today, set me straight as I'm running the race to change the world. God, thank you for trusting me. Thank you for letting me be the first one in my family to break generational curses. Let joy fill me up from the inside out. I love you, God. I love you. Thank you for getting up so I could get up. Now look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you better keep up. You better keep up. You better keep up. Did y'all get anything out of today? I'm so honored and humbled that you would spend this Easter with us. And I pray more than anything in this world that today you felt the love of God. That this is a safe place. And that God is not holding you down. He is not bringing up. When you serve God, you ain't got to live in karma. He says, once you come to know me, all old things are passed away. And I've made things new. Yes, things are going to happen that you don't like. Bad things are going to happen. But he's giving you strength. You hear me? Y'all excited? I sure do love y'all. We're going to give now. We're going to give our offerings and our tithe before we leave. And y'all go decorate eggs and take Easter pictures. In fact, in your Easter pictures today, put hashtag brag on God. Because you're a testament of what God can do. There's several ways that you can give today. 10 cents on a dollar, y'all know, goes to Jesus. You know that. He takes the devourer off your money. You can give in-house today, cash or check. There's beautiful people walking around with the envelopes. We'll take your envelopes and give them to you and you just write on them. You can give in the back at the kiosk. You can give text to give. Say 833-245-4502. 833-245-4502. You can also give online at limitlesschurch.live. You can give Cash App, My Limitless Church. You can give Venmo, My Limitless Church. Are y'all ready? Y'all ready? When you're done, you can come on up and drop it at the altar. And even if you gave in your phone, we like to come up and hit our phones on the platform. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will pay 10,000. We're praying for extreme miracles and breakthroughs in your life, and this is just a testament. You hear me? Just a testament of what God wants to do. I can't wait to hear of miracles, y'all. We need some brag on God videos to play during the week. What God's doing in your life, we want to hear about it. Y'all, if you don't have a church home, you can be a part of our community right here. We have connect groups. We have small groups. Get involved. Serve. Y'all come help us build. We've had Love Week all week. We've given out love to the community. Get involved. Amen. Online, you can just minimize your screen and give that way. All right, everybody, y'all ready? Everybody stand up. We done. Father, we just thank you right now for every person that walked into this place. God, I thank you for do-overs. I thank you, God, that we ain't worried about nothing. We're not trying to right the wrongs. We're going to let the wrongs be gone. God, draw us closer to you. Change our people like you changed me. Man, where I wake up joyful. Even when things ain't going right, I still celebrate. Because I know if they ain't all right, they going to be all right in a minute. This week, Lord, I thank you for financial breakthrough. That everything that our church gave today and our visitors gave today, that, Lord, you're going to give it back 100%. That, God, this is great dirt at this church. Lord, we thank you for trusting us today. I pray that people gave their hearts to you, and Lord, they want to get connected because accountability is important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, for all of you, go download the app, My YouVersion, YouVersion app, Y-O-U-V-E-R-S-I-O-N, and you can get on a Bible plan Read your Bible every day. And if you forget, the lady sends you a reminder. She's a woman. We know she's a woman. I love you guys. Y'all hug somebody as you're walking out. Y'all have the best.